nutrition advice on Talkabout in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Now, welcome to Anne.
How are you?
Dare I ask you if you remember your first communion?
I do. I remember having the cutest white socks and a little bag that was not, a little bag with a little tie on it, lace, you know.
And you were the biz.
And we used to go to Limerick.
To get the guna.
To get the guna. And it was the first, time you ever had money. You were only seven, but you never had money of your own. And all of a sudden you were given communion money.
Yeah.
You know,
amazing. Yeah. We have that lovely expression when we're talking about someone who's mean. He still has his communion money.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and we're here, of course, as always, to talk about food and diet and matters to do with our health. And you want to talk a little bit about being a healthy weight and how that ties in with gut health and how are the two things connected?
See, there's a lot of research going on because if you look at photographs back from the 60s, 70s and back then, people didn't have weight. And then all of a sudden things have changed and a lot of people are trying to manage weight. And at the same time, things arrived to us, modern food practices, more processed food, antibiotics, which are great when you need, you know, help with an antibiotic, but we talk about gut health because we now know more about the microbiome and the research that's going on is what kind of bacteria do we have in there? How much do we have? You know, the diversity, how many different colonies of what type of bacteria? They have really identified one very particular one called Akkermansia, and the name is Akkermansia mucinophilia. Mucin is mucus, is the mucus lining. So you have the mucus lining in the gut, and we're talking about the large gut. And at the end of the large gut, and it's an anaerobic bacteria, so there's no air. It has to live in a no-air environment. So, and it's very protected down there. But then if we eliminate that, then it doesn't do the job it was built to do. But it has very important jobs. It creates short-chain fatty acids to feed the gut lining. But it also, the last time I was here, we talked about GLP-1. And the GLP-1 is the glucagon-like peptide number one. And there's a lot of talk about it because people are using, you know, drugs or injections to curb appetite and to help you burn off the food. So this new term, people are thinking, oh, this GLP-1, these different medicines that are working with GLP-1, and they're working for people because they are curbing the appetite. People are eating less and then the weight is going down. That GLP-1 is produced in the gut, but it's produced by a bacteria, and the bacteria is called Akkermansia mucinophilia. So Akkermansia that lives in the mucus lining, and it helps to build a mucus lining, and it thrives in a good thick mucus lining, and it controls your immunity, so it helps you to reduce inflammation. The amount of people I see in practice that are coming to see me with inflammation, that are inflamed joints, inflamed gut, just inflamed in many different parts of the body, just general, they're just inflamed. And you know you're inflamed if you're on painkillers that are anti-inflammatories, and they help you. By the time you reduce your inflammation, either with a steroid or with a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, you know that you are treating inflammation that you yourself have created in your body. You know, your body has produced inflammation. You're trying to take an anti-inflammatory to get out of discomfort. But when you go back and look at the bacteria in the gut that is controlling that immunity that leads you or allows you to become inflamed, that's that bacteria. But that same bacteria is involved in the production of that GLP-1, that hormone that's made that says, I'm full. Oh, and not only am I full, I can stop eating, but not only am I full and I stopped eating, but now I'll burn off the food that I ate. So there's a trigger, you know, something that happens in your system. So just say you've eaten your lunch and you're not hungry again until 7 o'clock tonight and you sit down and you eat your dinner and you don't even think about food in the meantime. Another person has eaten and is still hungry, and in an hour's time they're hungry, and in 2 hours' time they're hungry, and they're thinking, how can I still be eating and how can I not control the weight? And you could sit down beside a friend and you eat the exact same for the next month and you lose weight and they don't lose weight. So why is that? It's not just, oh, mind over matter, stay away from the table. It's this bacteria in your gut called Akkermansia that they have discovered is in very low levels in certain people. And the people who cannot lose weight no matter what they do, and their metabolic system is off. They can't control their blood sugars. They can't control their weight. Their immune system is off. They may have inflammation.
They're never full.
They're never full.
Yeah.
And this is in children too. It's not just in adults. It's in children that you say, I cannot keep them away from the table. They're always asking for food.
So, sorry, this is a lack of or a shortage of this particular bacteria
that
in
is
your
a good,
gut.
Yeah, and it's a good bacteria. It's a necessary bacteria, and it's only in recent years, I suppose, they discovered this bacteria.
I was going to say, it's a new discovery.
But it's been there.
But how do we get more of it into our gut?
So you can take a supplement of Acromantia that is now available on the market. It's not just the regular Acidophilus bifidobacteria that we've talked about before. It's a particular Acromantia. But how you feed it, pomegranate, bananas, garlic, flax seeds, broccoli, like there's so many foods that just feed it. Polyphenols in foods are the ones that have the bright coloured in the berries. So if you're looking at blueberries, raspberries, again, those pomegranate seeds or pomegranate juice, those polyphenols will feed this bacteria. But so will flaxseed and sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. They help to feed it. So when you're having your bowl of porridge, if you supercharge that with the berries and the seeds, which I find a lot of people do, you know, people have been listening to this show for years, and the amount of people that come in and see me in clinic and they have a bowl of porridge and I say, what's in your porridge? Because I grew up with sugar and milk in my porridge. But nowadays when people are coming telling me about their porridge, they're telling me about having the mixed up seeds. Some people are putting a nut butter in there. A lot of people are putting different types of berries in there.
Yeah, the people are quite knowledgeable about that.
Very knowledgeable around food, so that you're supercharging that bowl of porridge, that it doesn't just have a grain, it actually has nuts and seeds and berries. And that's feeding the Acromantia.
Since you mentioned porridge, we talk about porridge a lot on this programme. We've just had a question in from somebody who takes kefir by putting a spoon of it in her porridge, but she's wondering, should she be taking the kefir on its own?
It will be fine. Kefir is kefir. And so when you're taking that, you're taking it with its probiotic cultures. It is milk that has been cultured, so it's easier to digest because it's practically pre-digested. But it has good cultures that help your gut, and it can fight the bad microbes. We'll just say there's good microbiology inside it. There's good bugs in there and there's bad bugs in there.
Okay.
So if you have an overgrowth of bad bugs, what is in kefir can help fight and displace those by replacing them with the good bacteria. So kefir is a good one for recolonizing the gut. But other probiotics, yogurts, you know, a good yogurt, a good Greek yogurt, they will have probiotics in there. But it, very specifically, this Acromantia is linked more to immunity, inflammation, the good gut health, the blood sugar control, and the insulin resistance. And over a time period, you've heard me speak about all of those as being an issue leading on to, say, type 2 diabetes and things. Now, if you have porridge, you're getting a grain with fiber. The fiber feeds those good bacteria as well. So it's great to have a mix of fibers, you know, fruit fiber, berry fiber, vegetable fiber, grain fiber. The fiber is going to feed. And a person on porridge has good fiber going through.
I hear, and we're back to the Gen Zs again, I hear a lot of young people nowadays are mad for, in the morning, having these acai bowls.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with them?
Acai berry bowls.
Yeah.
And they're coming out of Brazil, and they're a very high potent antioxidant. They will have high polyphenols. And with that, there's often a nut butter, banana, strawberry. There might be flax seeds or there's a black seed, maybe poppy seed. There's seeds gone into that as well. And they're great. And a yogurt.
Yeah.
So acai berries are grown in Brazil.
Okay.
And they're common. And if you want to buy acai berries, you know, you'll often buy them in the Brazilian shops. So, you know,
acai is the berry.
But it's a very strong, highly potent antioxidant berry. So when they measure on the score of how high in antioxidant a particular berry is, acai berry is very high. So it might be the new thing, but it's actually really good. I've had them, and you can turn them into smoothies. And I know they say the shop in Gort, you don't have to drive to Gort, but if you can find one of the Brazilian shops, they will often have them in because they ship them in.
Yeah.
And you know, I've got in my freezer some acai berry puree that you can just put through a smoothie. But it's that ingredient is high polyphenol, because look, the richness and colour, you see the purple, that rich colour, and the richness of a red pomegranate, they're high in polyphenols. But grapes, green tea, lots of polyphenol-rich foods, you know, around onions, garlic,
And they're all good for feeding this bacteria.
All good for feeding the bacteria. But they do find that when they check people, people who are struggling with their weight, they often have lower levels. And they've even done studies that people on chemotherapy who do well versus don't do well are not doing as well. You know, don't, you know, they're better recoverers that are the people with the higher echromancia levels. So there's a lot of research in all kinds of fields. Diabetes and metabolic health is one, and cancer treatments are another, where this acromantia bacteria, the higher the amount you have, the better the health you have.
And you can't just buy it and take it, can you?
You can buy it it, okay. And you can feed it. So a lot of us still have some and we focus on feeding it. And then if you find that you've had a lot of antibiotics or a lot of treatment, see, certain things kill off the good bacteria in our gut. Antibiotics, steroids, the pill, the chemotherapies, a lot of those are really harsh on those bacteria. So you're hoping that they just grow back. So if you've come out of treatment and you were always 10 stone and now you've had a treatment of whatever, whether it is a steroid or a chemo, and now your weight is 14 stone, you're thinking, how can I get back? I can't. Well, just think, the acromantia may have been knocked out. You know, you're now eating the same food, but you're not burning it off the same way. Or you're always hungry, so you're eating more and you can't get your weight. So who I'm dealing with in practice are the people who are struggling to get down that weight. And we're gone beyond just saying, oh, it's just about diet and what and control of what you eat. It's how is the body creating a system that you're eating too much. And why are you eating too much? Because this acromantia, it's like you're never full.
Okay.
And you can't burn off the food.
Okay, I want to come back to that because this is very interesting, but I need to take a break, Anne, and a quick reminder to listeners as well. Send in a question for Anne if you have one. It's Brenda on the phones today on 066 712 3666. You're with Thursday's Talk About on Radio Kerry with me and Anne Darcy, and we're back with more after these. Now, Anne, a lot of people are interested in acromantia. We'll come back to that in a minute. A listener is wondering, what's the best probiotic to use, and is Simprov a good one to take?
And that's a good one, and a lot of people have good results from that. So you've got lactobacillus, acid-loving bacteria, acidophilus. There's a lot of different types of lactobacillus and a lot of different bifidobacteria. And they live in your gut, and a lot of people can have low levels, and especially they kind of help to control opportunistic bacteria. So if you have all the good bacteria and in plentiful quantities, you don't tend to get an overgrowth of the bad stuff. The opportunistic bacteria can overgrow maybe after an antibiotic or even a fungal infection. So you'll often find somebody gets an antibiotic, they get thrush. Well, if people take that good probiotic with Acidophilus and bifidobacteria, they tend to avoid getting any kind of a fungal overgrowth afterwards. So all these probiotics are great, and they're replenishing you if you have poor gut health. But then as a different one completely, where I mentioned acromantia, that's one that you just supplement with that and then work your best to feed up what you have and recover the levels of that.
A listener says, I have polycystic ovary syndrome and I find it impossible to lose weight. I eat very well and I get lots of fruit and veg daily. Will an acromantia supplement help me?
And I would say it would, because with polycystic ovaries, there's a strong link to metabolic health and insulin resistance. And insulin resistance also means that your insulin levels go high, and that interferes with how an egg is released. Polycystic on the ovary just means that many cysts are formed. An egg comes up and should release every month. If that egg doesn't release, it can't get out to fertilize. So it's an issue of fertility coming down the line, which is why it gets dealt with. You know, that's why really people are looking at it as being a big issue. But it's very strongly related to insulin resistance. And this acromantia bacteria is also linked to insulin resistance. It helps your insulin sensitivity, which should help reduce that high insulin in the blood that should allow an egg to be released, not form a cyst as what's happening. But we are seeing a high rise. I see many people with polycystic ovaries, and I really go in after it with metabolic health. And thankfully, we've lots of babies born that have come on the back of, let's treat your metabolic system because of your polycystic ovaries, and then that allows the egg out to be fertilized, and then it's not an issue. But it's very much controlling insulin levels, and that's where acromantia comes in.
A listener wants to know, what is bacteria overgrowth in the small intestine and what should a person take if they have that condition?
So there's a new term almost, S-I-B-O, SIBO, oh, I have SIBO. SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. They used to think that there wouldn't be a high growth of bacteria, but they have discovered that there is. People who have almost like an irritable bowel kind of system, I will often use olive leaf. I find that very good for killing off certain bacteria. That's a herb. Now, if you're going for medicine, they will be giving you antibiotics. But if you're looking for what has an antibiotic type effect in a natural way that you can take yourself, I like olive leaf. I like oregano, even tea tree. There's a lot of formulas that you can take that will help to kill off overgrowths of bacteria. But my two favourites would be oregano and the other one would be olive leaf.
Okay, okay. A listener says, I make kombucha. Mm-hmm. We have it at mealtimes, diluted with sparkling water. Is there a better way or time to take it?
No, I think whatever time you're... Again, it's a culture and you have this... you put it into water and you're culturing the water. And you're either going to take yogurt based on milk, you can take kefir milk with water, or you take kombucha made with water, and you are creating your own cultures. So taking it as you are with sparkling water is going to be fine. Whatever way you can do something consistently is going to be best.
A listener, this is a great question. A listener says, is there such a thing as too much fiber in your diet? And the listener, she says her PTH was high when she did her bloods recently.
PTH, parathyroid hormone, linked to your parathyroid glands on the back of your thyroid. They control your vitamin D and your calcium. For whatever reason, it's up and it's up. You probably, if a doctor has seen it, they'll address it and see if it's any issue. If your vitamin D level is okay and you're not suffering from osteoporosis or you're not getting kidney stones, you know, it's probably just your normal level. And the other part of that question was how much fiber.
Is there such a thing as too much fiber?
You know, your body will break down fiber. The gut bacteria live and thrive on your fiber. Your fiber adds to your bowel movement and it helps to absorb all the toxins that you've produced in your body, that your liver is breaking down everything you've eaten and it's taking all that bile. Your bile goes into your gut. It is absorbed by the fiber and that is what your bowel movement is. So really, you don't have too much. Fiber gives you satiety. It makes you feel fuller. If you eat a diet with no fiber, you're going to be hungry because the insulin bind to each cell to say, open the doors and let the sugar out of the blood and back into the cell. I need to make energy with this sugar. Don't leave it out in the bloodstream. I need it to be in my cells. That's what insulin is doing. So chromium helps there. And cinnamon, the spice or the herb, whatever you'd like to call cinnamon actually helps with insulin sensitivity as well. Now, so chromium, niacin, which is vitamin B3, helps, alpha-lipoic acid, these all help with controlling those sugar levels. Now, you also have to eat, you're better off to be eating your three meals a day, not eating everything carbs. Do you know, so if you're on a high carb diet, you'd have to control that. I prefer to see people eating protein and fat, lots of vegetables and fiber, fill themselves up. And then at the end of that meal, eat a small bit of spud or a small bit of bread if you want it. But if you have your whole meal is a big bowl of porridge with sugar or honey, well, there's sugar. And if you had orange juice, sugar. And then if you have a sandwich with a tiny slice of ham and no butter and a big chunk of bread, then you've had sugar with a little bit of ham. And then if you had four spuds and a little bit of meat and carrot, you're kind of gone sugar again. So you want to watch your diet that you're having more protein, which is meat, fish, chicken, eggs, you know, nuts and seeds. And you want lots of different coloured vegetables and berries and fruits. More vegetable than fruit and more berries than fruit is what I would say. And if you're having your fruit, eat your fruit. Don't be drinking your fruit. So when you're on juice, you've taken all that fiber that would help to control the sugar and you're drinking, you know, maybe four or five oranges to get a glass of orange juice rather than eating an orange with its fiber, and the fiber fills you up so you can't eat four oranges.
Yeah, that's true. Just in terms of the person who's a stone overweight there, that lady, could it be that she doesn't have this achromancia?
Very, very possibly. And if I had her in front of me in clinic, which is what I often do when I have people telling me their story, I'd say, how many antibiotics have you had? Now, I last had an antibiotic in 1981.
Really?
1981. And it was because I had a broken shoulder with a pin in that got infected that I had to get an antibiotic. But ever since then, I've avoided an antibiotic. But I have people telling me, yeah, not so many last year. No, not really. So you didn't have them. No, maybe only two or three. For some people, it has become the norm that they've had antibiotics two or three times a year because they suffer with chest infections or they suffer with sinus infections or a child with ear infections. But what we're seeing is this mucus being overproduced in areas that, like your chest and your ears and your throat and your sinuses. And that's leading to the need for an antibiotic. And then people have had not just one or two or three, or, you know, somebody with urinary tract infections. Now, I'm not saying don't take the antibiotics. I'm saying let's get your immune system boosted so you don't need them. Let's stop the production of mucus by helping. If you digest your food better and you don't have the bloating, burping or wind in your belly, that's a sign of good digestion. When you're not digesting and you send unbroken food into the gut, you trigger a mucus reaction. That mucosal immunity everywhere, which is your chest, your nose, your ears, you increase the production of mucus up in these areas that you don't want to have. And then you're needing to take an antibiotic. That antibiotic, so look at the downstream effect. You take antibiotics, it knocks out the good bacteria in the gut. The Akkermansia particularly loves to live in a mucus-rich lining. But for when you kill off bacteria, that mucus lining has been diminished. So you want mucus in the good areas where you need it, like the large bowel, that feeds this Akkermansia, but you don't want to be producing excess mucus in your head or your chest.
Okay.
Where you don't need it to be, because that gets infected. All these areas up here can get infected.
I know people are going to ask where they can get Akkermansia supplements.
So you can go online and get it. And it is available here in Ireland. You can get it. I like the Pendulum one because they have, you know, they've discovered a way to keep it in its capsule until it gets to the large bowel. But there's lots of other forms. So whatever form, Akkermansia is now out there as a probiotic. And just remember, the more research we have done, you know, if we were here 100 years ago, you wouldn't have all the fancy stuff to give you this show. You know, we wouldn't have the reach. We wouldn't have the sound quality. And as improvements have happened in life, we have better transmission of radio and TV and whatever. And there's people today listening to you in Australia. There are people beyond in America listening to you this morning on their way to work, Deirdre, because I know they are, because they call me and they tell me that they heard me on Radio Kerry, because they're listening all over. The same thing with our body. We knew certain things along the way, and the more research comes out, the more we're making connections. And if the Akkermansia connection, the lady who put on the stone and can't lose it, the lady who put on 5 stone and can't lose it, I'm always asking,
were you on an antibiotic?
Did you have steroids? I'm meeting so many people in the last few years that got chest infections that needed a steroid and an antibiotic. And didn't just have one, had to have two to get them out of that infection. Well, if after that your weight went up and you're thinking, what happened? Like, where did things change? I am saying start looking at your timeline. Where did you have antibiotics and then where did the weight go out of control?
Very briefly, somebody from Listowel wants to know, is there an advantage in using decaffeinated tea over ordinary tea?
If you are somebody very sensitive to the effects of caffeine that causes your heart rate to race, then caffeinated tea is a bother to you and decaffeinated tea is better. Caffeine can overstimulate certain people. And those people have... Now, there's a lot of research going on as well in the genes that we have. And certain people can have genetic... We all have enzymes to do jobs in the body and certain people are missing certain enzymes. It's their genetic makeup. And there are enzymes you can take, DAO enzyme, for example, to help you break down histamine if you're getting a histamine reaction. But there's other people can't break down adrenaline well. And they're the ones who might be highly strung. You know, they get stressed more easily and their heart races when they get a fright. You know, those people...
shouldn't be on caffeine.
They often have a reaction to caffeine. They get too stimulated.
Okay. Somebody wants to know, what's the name of the Brazil fruit you mentioned again?
The acai berries.
Acai.
I think it's A-C-I-A.
Yeah.
Is
there two C's in it?
A-C-I-C-I-E maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Don't know, you'd have to look it up.
We got to go and just remind people how to contact you before we do.
Yeah, so I'm in All Therapy Centre here in Tralee on a Thursday, some Fridays. And my mobile number is 087-775-9385.
Okay.
And I'm in All Therapy. There's a landline number there that takes messages as well. 066-718-5229.
Brilliant. And we leave it there. But thank you for telling us all about acromancy. A very interesting stuff indeed.